The scripture passage today comes to us from the book of Revelation, the 21st chapter, verses 1 through 5. Listen for God's word as it comes to us today. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be with his peoples, and God himself will be with them. God will wipe every tear from their eyes, and death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." And here at the passage end, may God bless these words as I seek to apply them to our lives. Hello, friends. It's good to come to you here today. I'm sitting out on the front deck surrounded by flowers and hummingbirds. A light breeze is blowing. It's a perfect August day. Don't you just love August this time of year? You got to soak it up this last month of summer before we turn into fall. But you know, it was a week ago, right here on this front deck, that my daughter Kelsey and her bride and her groom, make sure I get that right, her groom, Kyle, my new son-in-law, got married right here on the front deck. It was a week ago. It was a grand event. It was Saturday. The wedding was set to be at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. The only problem was it was hammering rain. Thunder and lightning and dark clouds, hammering rain. And we were afraid we would have to move to plan B and move everything indoors, which would have been a huge shame because Kelsey was so much looking forward to an outside wedding. But right at 4 o'clock, the rain stopped, the heavens parted, and we had this perfect window of about 30 minutes to do the ceremony. Kelsey walked down the aisle with Phoebe and I on each arm. Son Kyle did the wedding ceremony. Phoebe and I were sitting in the front row so I could just soak up the entire ceremony. There were brides and grooms and groomsmen and bridesmaids. It was so much fun. They exchanged vows. They exchanged rings. They kissed the bride. Everybody applauded. They walked out. We did photographs. And no sooner than the last photograph was taken, that it started raining again. It was like the heavens smiled upon us for 30 minutes and then rain, and we had to move inside to the big party tent for the celebration. But it was great. It was great. You know, what was funny for me is I was watching everything that was going on, all the flowers and the preparations that were being set up, the dresses and the suits and the ties and groomsmen and bridesmaids and a group bride getting ready for a groom. I couldn't help but think about all the biblical images about the kingdom of God is like a bride being prepared for her bridegroom. You know, it's just these wonderful images. Jesus used the image of a bride and a groom and a wedding feast to talk about the coming kingdom of God. The coming kingdom of God was going to like be like a huge feast where everybody was invited. That's exactly what I was thinking of as I was waiting for the wedding to start, the bride to come meet the bridegroom. And that's exactly what's going on in this passage that I read from the book of Revelations. The author of Revelations is talking about the kingdom of God. The new Jerusalem is coming like a bride prepared for her groom. A great image. The passage says that God is making all things new. Just as for a bride and a groom, their lives are being made new, so is God making all things new. That's the message of this last passage, or this passage from the book of a Revelation. And you know, Revelation is quite the book, isn't it? It's really controversial. There are some people who wish that Revelation was never included in the canon of the Bible. Some wonder why it was even included in the canon of the Bible. Some people use the book of Revelation for all types of negative things. They use the book of Revelation to talk about the beast with the number of 666. They talk about the end times and trying to predict the end times. They talk about this holy war between Satan and the evil one and God and God's angels. I mean, all kinds of people even use the book of Revelations to legitimate Christian warfare, even Christian genocide. Terrible, terrible things. But if used appropriately, the book of Revelation can be used to talk about hope and meaning and inspiration in our lives. You know, the key to understanding the book of Revelation is understanding its context. Once you understand its context, then you understand the images that the author of Revelations is using. The context is this. The author traditionally says is the author of John is being imprisoned, exiled on the island of Patmos. He is writing to a group of people and he was trying to give them hope and inspiration. But the problem is, he had to write in such a way that his writing could go through the Romans and his life would be saved, but yet his message would go to fellow Christian believers. So he had to use images that the Roman censors wouldn't understand, but that his Christian believers would understand. Do you hear the hummingbird buzzing around? I just love hummingbirds, don't you? All right, so back to the sermon. That the people themselves would understand, so that those images, the beast 666, is not about Satan, it's about Emperor Nero, who is bringing all this persecution about. And the images that he uses are apocalyptic images about a new Jerusalem, a new coming into the people. That is why we have to understand his context. It'd be like in our context, if I was to say a paragraph such as this, is that the elephants and the donkeys are pushing yet against one another, and they all battle for the tall white building in the middle of the nation, and the one who sits in the White House makes legislation. The Supreme Court, the highest court in the land, makes laws that govern the people. There is a plague that is visited upon the people that is killing hundreds of thousands. Masks are being worn. Vaccines are being passed and developed so that the plague can be brought to an end. But is there an end? Will there ever be an end to this pestilence? Only God knows of a day, but a new day will come. A new hope of a new tomorrow will peace will reign upon the land. Now, if you were reading this 1,000 years ago, you would never understand what I was saying. In fact, even, you know, a couple hundred years into the future, you might understand this if you knew your history. But you, living in the middle of this context, know exactly what I'm talking about. See, that's what's going on in the book of Revelation. Those images and that context, the people would know exactly what was being said. You know, part of the context for the book of Revelation is the people were oppressed because of Emperor Nero and his hatred of Jews and Christians. He was unleashing this huge wave of oppression because of their beliefs. Christians, both Gentile converts, Jewish converts, Hellenistic converts were being arrested. They were being tortured. They were being executed. People were afraid because of their beliefs that they were going to be the very next ones to be executed. And the author of John is saying and using all these images as a way of saying, don't give up. Have hope. Have endurance. A new day is coming. The kingdom of God is coming and God will dwell among us and God will make all things new. God will wipe away all of the tears and the fears and the grief and the pain and the loss. God is going to make all things new. The kingdom of God will come. And that's the message of the book of Revelation. Well, then, how do we apply it to our lives? Instead of thinking about the end times and how do we predict the end times, how can we take this message from John using these images to oppress people and talk about it in our own context? Well, I think we'd begin by talking about who are oppressed people. If it's written for oppressed people back then who are the oppressed people now? You know, we can talk about foreign nations where there are dictators and oppressions, but I think, you know, we can really look no further than beyond our own borders and our own nations, is that there are oppressed people right now in the middle of our own context. I think about people of color. I think about racial bias and discrimination. I think about the hatred that people of different colors have for one another. I think about this racial inequality and this tension that we're feeling in our nation right now. People of privilege, people not of privilege, and this unevenness that we have, this lack of justice that we have, the sense of oppression that people have. We have people who are living under economic oppression. They can't earn a living wage. Because they can't earn a living wage, they're having to go to food banks and clothing banks. They're having to look for government subsidies to help them just to pay their rent. Economic oppression. I think about homeless people who are living on our streets, thousands across our nation, living on the streets, under bridges, along inner city waterways. You know, the homeless problem in our nation is huge. Homeless shelters being filled with people. How do we bring justice to these homeless people? I'm not quite sure, but I do know that God's justice wants to come to these oppressed people. God's justice, the book of Revelation is saying, God is not distant and far off, that God is bringing God's dwelling place to you. God is bringing his dwelling place to wherever there is racial oppression. God is bringing the dwelling place to economic oppression. God is making a dwelling place and is with you when you're standing in a food bank line or a clothing bank line. God's presence is with you in the middle of your oppression. But maybe let's switch and let's make it more personal. Maybe we need to talk about where you're living in the midst of oppression. Where are you living in the midst of oppression? Where are you living in the midst of abuse? Maybe you're in the middle of an abusive relationship, maybe with your spouse, your partner, or your marriage. You know what? So many people live with abuse, and God would tell you, do not live with abuse. Leave abusive relationships, because God is making all things new. God wants to make the divine dwelling place with you. God is with you. If you have an abusive place at work, then it's time to look for a new job. It's time to move out of oppression and come to a new day, a new hope. God is making all things new in your life. Let's switch again. Let's talk about your spirituality. Where are you at with your spirituality? Is God distant from you? Do you feel that God is far off from you? Is your spirituality kind of dusty and dry? Well, then you need to hear that God says God is making that dwelling place with you. God is intimate. God is close. God is making all things new. God will not rest until you discover the beauty of God's presence with you in the middle of your life. Let's switch again. Let's talk about maybe there is death and loss in your life. Maybe there is grief. Maybe there is a mental illness. Maybe there is deep sadness in the middle of your life. Well, then you need to hear the message of the book of Revelation, this passage where God says, I am coming to wipe away all the tears. I am coming to wipe away all the pain. I am coming to wipe away all the grief. Behold, I am making all things new. It's a message of hope. In the middle of your despair, you need to know that God is present with you. God walks with you. God will be with you until you discover the new day. God is God of hope, and God is God of resurrection. Resurrection is God's final answer for you in the middle of your life. See, look at that. It's not about the end times. It's not about the beast and about Satan and the mark of the beast. No, none of that. It's about a new day coming to you. Behold, I am making all things new. Well, my Kyle, my new son-in-law, and Kelsey are in the middle of their honeymoon. is your life a honeymoon? Probably not. Honeymoon days are long ago. But maybe you need a spark in your life, something to liven you up and waken you up to all the great possibilities that life has for you. Then you need to hear the book of Revelation saying God is going to make a dwelling place with you and God's kingdom is going to make all things new. Thank you for listening to me today. Let's move on to the next phase of the service. Jill will lead us in the pastoral prayer.
Hey, thank you, Steve, for your message. And thank you for sharing the stories of your life. In seminary, I love this image that I think a professor said. We often think about God in the beginning, setting things in motion and everything spreading out. And then we feel like it's chaotic. The professor said, I love to imagine God, however, in the end, drawing all things back to God's self in this way that recreates, renews, redeems, restores, makes all things perfect and good again. So in that spirit, let us pray, and we will join our voices to say the Lord's Prayer as well. God, we gather today, wherever we are, whatever is on our mind and whatever is in our hearts, we gather trusting that the Spirit unites us in our spread out places. And we gather in a spirit of anticipation, of hope in what you are doing. What you are doing right now among us and what you will do in history. We trust that you are a God of restoration, the fixer-upper God, the God that is working among us for goodness. And we thank you that you've given us a job, a role, to be agents of that renewal, of that restoration, of that goodness, that we get to participate in this good and beautiful work. And so renew a spirit of hope and peace and courage in us, in the places where we have become discouraged, in the places where we're tired or we lack hope. Pray that you would give us spirit, your spirit, again of hope. And this day we join our voices to pray the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray, trusting that you are with us in all things. And so we join our voices as we trust that you also join us in spirit to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.